Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 353 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez. Here to talk about the news of the week in pro wrestling, a little WWE, a little AEW. Man, it is good to be with these guys here on a Thursday night. Captain America himself, Justin Joint, one of the most patriotic men I know. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I've actually been thinking about, you know, how everybody's kind of down on this MJF, you know, American Championship thing. And the reason why it works for me is just because of how off-putting I find over-the-top patriotism. So it's like, it totally works for me. Shout out Derek in the chat. Haven't seen him in there for a while.
Love seeing this guy straight out of Memphis, Tennessee. Derek Chappelle in the chat. What's up, Derek? Jesse, how you doing tonight, man?
This lighting is not good. If I even turn this on, if I turn this off, this is just horrific lighting, and I apologize in advance. I'm now awake again because I'm trying to fix this problem. It's not going to solve itself. So, otherwise, I'm doing okay.
Jesse looks like Sting walking across the catwalk back in the day, up in the shadows there. Very nice.
Pretty much, yeah. Just lurking, waiting for some horrible wrestling takes to come through on YouTube or Twitter and maybe just kind of pounce upon them like a vulture. Sure.
Is there anything in the glass tonight, you guys? I mean, I know I've been the only one drinking lately. I might be again. Justin, anything going on?
I've got a Boulevard Flying Start. N.A. I'm 3 weeks into my no booze. I'm at least going to hit a month, and then we'll see how it goes from there. I don't know. I might need to start drinking again because the other night I tried watching some boring doc, and I ended up through my socials going in this huge rabbit hole of Corey Feldman live music performances, and now my algorithms are just completely fucked in all my social accounts. It's just all I see now is Corey Feldman.
You know how on YouTube, you know, you pull it up on your TV and you get all the different profiles. Like, I got the kids' profiles. I hate so much when they accidentally watch on my profile because it screws up all my recommendations just like that. I'm like, what is this stuff? This isn't Chicago Bears videos. This is classic WWF.
Literally just an hour ago, my phone showed me a clip of a Fred Durst and Corey Feldman duet of Nirvana's Come As You Are. That is something that exists in this world that I did not know about until about an hour ago.
Oh my goodness, that is bizarre.
It was as bad as you would think it would be.
Jesse's face says it all right now.
Corey Feldman, wow, making an appearance on Top Rope Nation. I don't think I ought to put that on my bingo card at all.
First time in 353 episodes, Corey Feldman, Top Rope Nation reference. That'd be like the episode 400 trivia game of of Top Rope Nation. On what episode did we reference Corey Feldman? Oh, man.
Someone would know that.
We got Frank Pediani in the chat.
Frank,
what's up, dude? Tim Jensen is here. Derek, as we said. Guys, let us know if you're in the chat. Frank feels my pain when the kids take over the YouTube app. That's for sure. Jesse, what do you got anything in the glass? I know you've had a long day.
No, because I got to get right back up early in the morning again. And I know, and I'm pretty much straight through until I pick up my son. So, no. And speaking of the YouTube algorithms, yes, it's mixed between wrestling things, Bluey, and no more fruits jumping on the bed.
Yeah. Hey, Bluey's acceptable. Bluey is a solid show.
Bluey rules.
You enjoy Bluey.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We actually have Disney for a month here. So, yeah. We've been putting Bluey to the test, and I've been watching some Bluey clips on YouTube by myself, and I'm an adult.
It's acceptable.
Yes, it's enjoyable.
Well, my oldest daughter had dance tonight, so my wife and I did a double date with two of our good friends whose daughter is also in dance with ours, and nice. We got some Mexican food and had a few margaritas, and I told Jay, I was like, well, I'm definitely drinking light beer on the pod tonight after two jumbo margaritas. So I've got Miller Lite. Sean Skelton, shout out. I know you're being disappointed by our what's in the glass lately. coming through for you with some Miller Lite tonight. That's the official beer tonight of Top Rope Nation. Yes, indeed.
The moment I take a Friday off, I promise I'll probably be drinking a lot. everything.
Well, guys, if you have never tuned in to Top Rope Nation, appreciate your support. Please hit subscribe. If you guys are watching on YouTube, which we got a good crew right now on the YouTube channel, please hit the like button. That will help us out a lot. Get us out to some new viewers. Subscribe to the channel. If you're not already subscribed, leave us a 5-star on Apple, Spotify. Leave us a written review. We would also really, really appreciate that. And the number one way to support Top Rope Nation, say it every week, is by becoming a Top Rope Nation patron. The link is in the broadcast description. You see all of the names scrolling across right now of all of our wonderful patrons, which are the reason why there has been 353 episodes of this show, plus another 150 plus bonus shows behind the paywall on Patreon. So altogether, guys, we have produced over 500 podcasts, which is wild to think about. Jesse just dropped a new edition of TRN Unplugged, Top Rope Nation Classics. We have just released one on WCW Bash at the Beach 2000, a real barn burner there. We've got another one coming up here in a couple of weeks, our August TRN Classics. The poll is out right now for patrons. A pretty close poll so far. So make sure if you are a Patreon supporter, you get your vote in for that. We got TRN Extras dropping, all kinds of great benefits. Check it out. Access starts at just $5 per month. And hopefully by later this month, we'll have some news to share on even more content possibly coming to the Patreon feed. And if you want another way to support us, real quickly, if you are watching on YouTube, we also have TRN Plus. I do not talk about this that much, but there is an option to become a member on our YouTube channel, which does get you access to the video versions only of our bonus shows. You can get the last 2 years of TRN Classics on our YouTube channel by becoming a TRN Plus member. It's only $2.99 a month. You get the video versions of the bonus shows. So just another way you can support the show. And like I said, Patreon is the way to get that in podcast and video format. So either way, a couple of ways to support Top Rope Nation. So Jesse.
I've seen the top two percentage-wise thus far, and it seems like our patrons are back to normal when it comes to their voting habits. Thank you.
Last I looked, it was SummerSlam 94 and SummerSlam 02, right? Were the top two?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing either of those.
So. Is that Tim in the comments there?
Yes. Yes,
no, that is not his best role. His best role was Edgar Frog from The Lost Boys, Tim.
Oh.
Still talking Corey Feldman here.
He's really gone down a Corey Feldman rabbit hole right now. Frank even mentioned Corey Haim.
Yeah, I have not seen Blown Away. I don't think I've ever even heard of that. I liked, was it License to Drive? I think had both of them in it. And then there's some Dreams one too. I can't remember the title of it. One escapes me at the moment.
I just happened to search Corey Feldman in pro wrestling to see if there's any good connections here. And one of the first headlines I see is Bret Hart nearly started TV series with Corey Feldman.
Dear God.
Article from 2023. I don't want to read this on air, but my God.
Bret Hart. You might have to.
In what year?
This came out in 2000. It was from an interview in 2023. I'm guessing it was back in the 90s okay. or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it had to have been.
Wow.
Can't imagine Corey Feldman in Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, it's an article about, it says writer producer Ricky Lee Travolta recently penned a blog where he recalled working on a show titled Champion of the People. Would have been about a professional wrestler who is elected mayor of a small town. So they were kind of drawing into, I guess, Jesse the Body Ventura's real life up in Minnesota. And it would have starred Bret Hart as the lead character whose name was going to be Adonis Truth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Where does Corey Feldman come in here, though?
Adonis Truth?
Another major part of approaching the show for Travolta was figuring out who would be cast as the mayor's chief of staff. Corey Feldman stood out as a front runner. My God. We have gone down a rabbit hole I never saw coming tonight, you guys.
God, I hope in the next life that show exists. I need to see it.
Unbelievable.
I need to see that timeline.
There is a YouTube clip, Kevin Nash on Corey Feldman. Go down that rabbit hole as well. I'm going to drop the Corey Feldman stuff, you guys. I apologize, but
there will be a pro wrestler at some point named Adonis Truth. I'm pretty sure that's going to come about with that for sure. Yeah, like Brooklyn Park Mayor Jesse Ventura. For those who didn't know, before he became the governor of Minnesota. Speaking of another governor of Minnesota, but we know we can go down. We won't touch that tonight. But
well, that governor endorsed right the other governor of Minnesota. Yes, indeed. I saw the video out there of Jesse the Body in endorsing the current governor of Minnesota a couple of years ago. So there's your wrestling connection too. All right, guys. So Jesse, as we are, how many minutes into this podcast? About 12 minutes in. I wanted to say, Jesse, you guys, you and Justin, but Jesse, certainly you and the host chair kind of run the discussion, did a great job on the SummerSlam review. Apologize I wasn't able to join you guys. I did eventually review it over on One True Sport on Monday. And, you know, I thought Rob Wilkins was awesome on the show. It was such an interesting dynamic how, you know, Rob was pretty positive. Jesse, somewhere in the middle. Justin's like, fuck this shit. it was a really good listen, though. I was very entertained. I turned it on YouTube. I was going to listen to the podcast version. And then I just watched the whole thing on YouTube one night. The next night after you guys had broadcast it, and good stuff. So I got to talk to Rob. I had him on One True Sport on Tuesday.
Yes.
And it was a great, great discussion. Rob's awesome. So shout out to Rob for joining the show. Won't be the last time. We'll have to have him back for sure.
Speaking of that, that might've been my favorite moment of the whole show was when I asked if Justin were to have a fresh friendship bracelet taken from him, would he get as upset as CM Punk? He's like, fuck no. He's like, it's just a friendship bracelet.
I do have like a one of those kind of rubber rings that are just, I don't like my actual wedding band just because I think it's uncomfortable. So I use one of those rubber ones. And I have lost like a dozen of those things and never a tear shed. I've never fought anybody over it.
Wearing one of those rubber rings right now. That's pretty much all I wear too. Yep. Well, I wanted to just start a little WWE. We'll get into AEW in a little bit here. I know our audience tends to trend AEW more so than WWE, but I mean, I'm telling you, as the weeks go on, I get a little more positive on WWE. They are having some pretty good shows. I thought Raw was a better show than SummerSlam. I don't know what you guys thought. I did like some of the pivots they made on Monday Night Raw. Let's start with the big one, which is that Gunther's first challenger is SmackDown's Randy Orton. Did not see this coming, although they, you know, they had the clues there because of the finish at King of the Ring, you know, where Orton got his shoulder up. So they left that, you know, I think we might even talked on the pod at the time that they left it open. They could do that match later on. You know, so they come back to it. And while I would prefer an Orton Cody feud, which I think they'll probably still get to eventually. I don't think this is like a multi-month thing. You know, I think they're going to have their match at Bash of Berlin, and then Orton will be back on SmackDown, and that'll be that. And then maybe they get into the Cody stuff after that. While I would, you know, I would prefer that, I don't really mind this. You know, it is, it's higher star power for Gunther to have Orton in there. And also, I really appreciate the fact that they laid the groundwork for this, because how many times have we said throughout the history of the 8 years of this podcast that it feels like WWE punishes you for having a good memory? Like, they would always want you to forget stuff happened, and no, forget that, we're going in a different direction. Whereas lately, and there's many reasons to criticize Paul Levesque, which we have done and we will continue to do so, but to his credit, he has like kind of left those breadcrumbs to connect stories, even like a year out. I mean, look what they did with Damian Priest and Finn Balor, where they called back on Raw, you know, to Finn, and how he, you know, looked out at Damian Priest last year at SummerSlam, and Damian cost him the title, and they, you know, they tied that together a year later. So I really like this with bringing in Orton and having a rationale for doing so. Jesse, your thoughts?
I'm in agreement with you on that one, simply put, because it's a super fresh program. They had the one-off match where for the King of the Ring, you had the SmackDown side looking for one spot and Raw looking for one spot. So this was almost billed as just a one-off. You may never see it again, but then the controversy happened. And during the show, Hunter even said, or rather during the show or a little bit after, he had said, okay, we acknowledge that the shoulder was up. However, we're going to stick with the referee's decision, and there will be a Gunther Orton too at some point in time. Orton's win-loss record's pretty solid these days. He's not getting pinned much, especially since he's returned. So, yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. It's a big name who's still, I mean, he's a little out of his prime, but I'll tell you, the WWE universe or the fans out there respect the hell out of him. So, yeah. And the way that they played it up, Gunther saying he was completely shocked by this whole thing, crowd kind of chuckled at it. Here we go. Yeah, that'll be a fun main event. And then when it's over, it'll strengthen Gunther's resume, and we can continue on.
Yeah. Justin?
Well, first off, I don't know how much I don't know if I'd call that laying the groundwork as much of just as them acknowledging a botch from a previous match that they had. I don't hate it. It makes sense because of that. And I like that they're acknowledging that, you know, there was a screwy finish at that King of the Ring match. I don't buy any chance of Randy Orton actually winning this match. And now, granted, the flip side of that comment is, I don't know if there's anybody they could have thrown in, you know, against Gunther at Bash at the Berlin who we'd buy as possibly unseating him already as champion. So, I guess this is a good kind of placeholder feud, since it does have a trickle of a history behind it. I guess it'll just come down to how good the match is, at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we had talked about last week, maybe it was Jesse that brought it up, you know, that Ilya Dragunov would have been a cool match to do, especially with it being in Europe, but they would definitely have to heat him up really quickly to even make sense for him to have a title match, you know, if you look at it from a between the ropes perspective, that's the match. Like, that would be a better match for sure. But it wouldn't be as logical as this one, you know, just because they did have that screwy finish at King of the Ring. So at least there's rationale for it, is kind of, you know, where I'm at with it, even though it's like, oh, we're going to ignore that this guy's on SmackDown, you know, whatever. but yeah, I mean, like we said, I think he's going to go back there. I don't know. Continue. The problem is, like, what is there for Cody Rhodes? Who's Cody Rhodes working against? You know, it just seems like there's never a logical guy for him. You get Roman coming back at SummerSlam and he helps him and he kind of nods at him and then he like stares him down. So like, that's still a match you can do. They're not going to go to it right away, I wouldn't think. So in the meantime, with the Bloodline Civil War kind of being the primary match over on SmackDown, I just don't know where Cody Rhodes goes next. And this has kind of been, you know, the theme of his title reign. Until they get the bloodline stuff out of the way, he's just kind of spinning his tires, which is why I like the idea of him feuding with Orton, because they have a lot of history together. He's a big star, and hopefully in September they start going that direction.
And I think you could factor in, you know, some unpredictability with that match because of how long Roman held the title. If Cody has a little blip of like a month where he loses the championship to Orton, you know, and gets it back in short order, I don't think that would have been a bad thing either.
Yeah.
Take a page out of his father's book, who would chase the living hell out of the title, hold it for maximum 2.5 months, give it back and go back on the chase, and the crowd's eating it up again.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So yeah, I didn't mind that direction. I'm also very happy that they have kind of split up that trio program between Punk and Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, because I didn't get to say this on our show, but I was not a very big fan of that match at all. I found Seth to be incredibly distracting in the match. I thought, well, you know, everything he was doing, laying on the ropes, his outfit, it just like, it took me out of the match. I mean, the match was fine. It wasn't a bad match, but I had pretty high expectations. It did not live up to those expectations at all. So, I mean, I was really happy when, you know, they pivoted on Raw. Now, you know, they led into the match that a lot of people really want to see, which is why they had the three of them together, with, you know, Rollins coming out there, you know, again, being very serious, and him and Punk are like about to come to blows on Monday Night Raw. And then Drew comes out and Punk ends up chasing Drew because he mentions AJ, his wife, which was better than just mentioning, I have your friendship bracelet, to Justin's point earlier. So he chases him off because he's talking about his wife, and that left, you know, Rollins out there, and out comes Bronson Reed, and he splashes him like, I don't know how many times, 6 or 7 times or whatever, which was a little odd since the crowd cheered it with Seth being a babyface. But on the positive side, look, Bronson Reed, Seth Rollins promo to get him away from Punk. So now we can just do Punk and McIntyre by themselves. And then after that's over, after a couple of months, probably, then maybe start working into the Punk Rollins match down the line, or maybe not even till WrestleMania season. But I like that they did this to kind of separate those guys, hopefully elevate a guy like Bronson Reed. I don't know. We'll see what happens coming out of this program. But Jesse, what did you think about that on Monday night?
I was happy with the Punk McIntyre direction. Let them continue. And then as for Seth Rollins, this is almost an instant replay of last year, the SummerSlam, or the Raw after SummerSlam, where Shinsuke Nakamura was in a 6-man tag with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, and he turns on Seth Rollins and they feud for months. Yeah, it was foregone conclusion that Seth was going to be the one to go over. And by the way, on that night, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Bronson Reed. Mm-hmm. Bronson Reed had been winning a lot of matches up to that point, and ever since then, it's just been 50-50. So, I mean, people were going crazy online, buying it's about time that you pushed Bronson Reed. And I just said, well, this is where the whole crumbs thing with Triple H just saying you can be rewarded if you remember certain things and you get punished if you do as well. This is where you're punishing me. Bronson Reed to me is not believable in spite of what he did, just because he's been around for a while now and he's been just feuding with random guys like Sheamus and Chad Gable, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, and trading wins. So I don't buy him getting elevated out of this program, much like some people might. Those are my 2 cents. So yeah, it's just going to give Seth something to do before the Punk McIntyre feud opens up and he gets to take on one of them.
He's going to have to get some wins in this. They're going to have a series of matches, and you would hope that he would get some wins, you know, much like when you had, where'd Justin go? Sorry, lost my train of thought. Much like, you know, back in the day, I mean, he was brand new to the roster, but like when Owens wrestled Cena and he beat him in the first match, and eventually Cena won the series, but people noticed Owens and, you know, what he could do in the ring as a bigger guy. I mean, it's kind of probably the blueprint for this. I don't know how they'll go about it, but they definitely got to keep Seth busy for a while, you know.
So Bronson gave him a W then. I mean, that's the only really logical thing you can do. I mean, granted, Kevin Owens was the fresh face back then, so spotless resume at the time, didn't have to worry about it, was elevated automatically. I mean, this could be a jump start, but I'm not hopeful of it for Bronson Reed.
Yeah. You guys have any thoughts on Judgment Day from Monday night and how that all played out? And the split and Priest and Ripley and all of that. I see Justin shaking his head.
Well, real quick, first off, I hope you guys mentioned Stuart's idea from our Facebook group about Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins, that they need to do like a music video a la Hulk Hogan after he was squashed by the earthquake, you know, 1,000 times. They've got to do something along those lines.
Fan mail. Didn't that come in for him? Hogan at that time.
They got to do it. They got to do it. Hopefully just Seth is gone for a little while. They can keep him off TV for at least like 2 or 3 weeks, but I don't know. We'll see if they're as antsy as AEW is with, you know, Tony and Mariah May.
Yeah.
No, I do not really care about the Judgment Day. Finn Balor is not a good actor. I don't really believe anything he says. I love Dom, and that's about the extent of it, of this current incarnation of the Judgment Day. I really like Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. I watched that WWE 24, which is kind of your usual WWE schlock, but Damian comes off as very likable, and damn, it's too bad that it took his entire world championship reign to finally feel like a world champion. In fact, watching that that doc, you know, they were talking about WrestleMania 37 where he teamed with Bad Bunny, and I'm like, yeah, that was a big deal. That was like, what happened? Why don't I remember any of his other WrestleMania matches? And it's like, oh, he WrestleMania 38 did not have a match. WrestleMania 39 did not have a match. And he shit, even at WrestleMania 40, he was in a tag team match where he lost the tag titles. But I'm curious to see where this goes. I have never really been all that into the Judgment Day. Hopefully they can keep the momentum going with the obvious stars of this feud, which is Damian and Rhea.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they don't call them Judgment Day too. And I don't want them to even really be a faction or like try to recruit members. They should just be like, two separate people now who are, you know, allies, of course, because of their history, but they're not like forming a faction or anything. Let Judgment Day be Judgment Day with the new group or whatever, and that's totally fine. But I did like how they, you know, they had that segment together when the brawl happened and everything on Monday night, and just keep them as allies, but that's all you need to do. I mean, Rhea Ripley can be totally on her own, and obviously Priest can be too. And I mean, to your point about Priest, not that he had a long title reign, but yeah, I mean, the last month is where he really turned it on. And I honestly give him a ton of credit, because I mean, I was as skeptical as anybody that was going to work. We talked about it so many times on the show. Dude is like fifth in the pecking order at Monday Night Raw. And by the end, like, I was into the title reign. We talked about it before SummerSlam. Like, you could make the argument to even keep the title on him a little bit longer, just because he had done such a good job. And you know, getting the fans behind him on short notice to wrestle Gunther. And I mean, just in general, being a cool character when really nobody thought much of him a year ago. He wasn't even on the WrestleMania card, as you said. So I give him a lot of credit for how he turned it around. And I think he's earned himself another title reign, you know, down the line.
And an absolute chef's kiss of a choke slam on JD to end that segment.
Yeah. Jesse. Go ahead, jump in.
I would say keep Damian associated with Rhea a little bit longer, just to continue to increase his star power and build off the last month of what his title reign was. So just to see if it's there, and have him obviously go over in this feud with Finn Balor and the rest of the cronies over there. And then you can keep him in the upper echelon, or I'm just trying to think. I don't know how long Bron Breakker is going to hold that championship. Have him feud with Bron Breakker. I mean, not for that title, but so maybe let's just say Braun ends up losing it at some point in time. I still don't think he's ready to be a world champion within the next 6 to 12 months. Have Damian feud with Braun, have him go over there and keep his star hot moving forward. so you don't forget about him. And then maybe you could even go back down the line and potentially even have him unseat Gunther in 9 to 12 months if that momentum continues to carry on.
Yeah. One more topic from Raw, and then we're going to transition to AEW, the build for All In, and what we saw in Dynamite last night. And then we've got a new segment we're going to debut at the end of the show tonight. So stay tuned for that. Wyatt Six, first actual match for the group. They promoted it the previous week on Monday Night Raw, but we get the six-man tag in the main event with American Made, Chad Gable, and the Creed Brothers. Against the Wyatt Six, the trio was Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis, and Eric Rowan. And I'm curious what you guys thought of this. I'll give my take last now. Jesse, how did you think the Wyatt Six came off in the main event?
They're fine. I'm way more concerned with the guy that just resigned with the company a couple months ago. Is this what he signed up for when he resigned with the WWE? Probably not. I understand. I think that the Wyatt Six should definitely go over in the first handful of feuds that they're involved in, but to come at the expense of Chad Gable, who we were thinking might even be the Intercontinental Champion at some point in time, then you throw him in a Money in the Bank picture. Whoops. I don't know what that means for his future. But yeah, the presentation for the Wyatt Six continues to remain strong. I just wish the feud was a little bit different and they were able to pick on a more inferior faction than Chad Gable and the Creeds, by the way, who have had their momentum stalled since they came onto the main roster, which is fine because they're both extremely young and the future is going to be bright for them. Probably talk about that tag division later too, so where they might be getting a boost. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen a different outcome or same outcome, different faction.
I think an inferior faction would be a great rebrand for the Final Testament. I think that's exactly where they should have gone.
Ding.
I'd much rather see them taking the L, no question about it. I guess, I mean, the counter is you got to put this new group in there with somebody that has some investment from the audience. But yeah, I mean, God, that Final Testament's terrible. It's not working for me at all. Justin, you have any thoughts on what they do with them?
I'm glad they're not wearing their masks or anything. The presentation is, I guess, as good as this sort of spooky thing could be at the moment. It certainly could have been a whole lot worse. And, you know, I'm such a sucker that, you know, Rowan got me with that tribute to Brody Lee, which was very nice. So it could have been a whole lot worse. I'm definitely in the same ballpark with you guys, and I wish it would have been against, you know, almost any other team. Now, having said that, American Made, stupid name, by the way. I think they can do better. You know, they were in the main event of Raw, you know, so that's a pretty decent spotlight against, you know, this new spooky faction who the WWE fans are, you know, digging.
Yeah, Chad Gable, they have just continually dropped the ball with this guy. Was it last year? I think you were weren't you at the Raw, Jesse, where they had the IC title match that he was in?
The Fatal 4-Way.
So good.
Yeah, to get to Gunther. Yeah, it was him, yeah. Ricochet, I believe Matt Riddle. Tommaso Ciampa was the fourth. It was all former NXT alums who were very highly regarded.
God, that was an awesome match. And then he did, you know, he did such good character work and, you know, the split going on with his faction and everything. And yeah, everyone thought you got to put the strap on him eventually here. And they didn't do it. Now here he's taking losses. I mean, like I said, I get the idea that you want to put this new faction in there with someone that has some name value. It just sucks that it's him again. So yeah, that part of it, I'm not a huge fan of. I did think with the presentation of the Wyatt Six, I think they've done it in a way that you can get investment long term. You know, we're as skeptical as anybody about these kinds of characters. All you guys got to do, go into the archive on the Patreon, listen to, what year was that? 2019? 2020? I can't even remember. The Hell in the Cell match with The Fiend that Kyle and I ranted on for like 20 minutes.
That was so bad. 2019.
the 2019 Hell in a Cell. If you want to hear Kyle and I loudly complain about what an awful match that was for damn near a half hour and how the Fiend just was dead at that point in time and the character was never going to work. I mean, go back and listen to that. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. We think they dropped the ball with that guy many times, but man, that stuff just did not work. And I think here they're at least doing it in a way that it can work. You know, we talked about on the show the last few weeks, they unmask and they wrestle as the guys that everybody knows they really are. And they acknowledge it on commentary. And Michael Cole is like, you know, look, this guy, you know, he really thinks he's Mercy the Buzzard, and Joe Gacy really thinks he's Huskus the Pig and all this stuff. You know, it's like, okay, it's all in their mind. We don't really think they're these evil people. And I think that's the right way to sell it, to make it more realistic. These people are just like mentally not there. They're not actually the characters, you know, so they unmask and they wrestle the match for the most part normal. They still have like the smoke effects and stuff. And of course, Bo is out there. Nikki Cross is out there doing their character work and everything. But overall, I thought it worked pretty well. The crowd was into it. They have one of the few theme songs that actually is decent on the roster right now. And so the crowd popped in the celebration afterwards with the theme playing as they went off the air. So outside of me not really liking that it's Chad Gable again taking losses, I think it's exceeded my expectations so far, because I have been very skeptical that it would work. And so far it's working, and I think they're going about it the right way. It's going to be really interesting when Nikki Cross has to wrestle a match, because she's probably the most out there of the group.
The goal is for them to all shed the "and then the bell rang" stigma. Mm-hmm. So, yep, not a bad first test. You mean you're in there with Creed and you're the Creeds and Gable, who are some of the top flight in ring performers that there are. So, I mean, hopefully they can continue. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, in order to switch gears to AEW right now, I want to throw this question out to you, because this is going to bridge the two companies, because there's a report out there that the Lucha Bros are potentially going to be jumping to WWE. Rey Fénix, you know, who I think from what I've heard, Rey Fénix was the one, him and Penta, Rey was the one that kind of wanted, was more warm to staying around AEW. But Penta, from what I was told, was the guy who really wants to go to WWE. And they're like a package deal. So it appears they're probably going to WWE, almost certainly going to WWE. And I want to gauge the temperature here. You know, what do you guys think about the Lucha Bros jumping from AEW to WWE? Do you think that is going to hurt AEW? You think it's a good thing for the Lucha Bros? You think it's a good thing for the WWE? Let me throw Justin first here. What are your thoughts on the Lucha Bros?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly the sort of thing why pro wrestling is better as a fan when there are two major promotions, so we can get these kind of jumps. It just freshens up everything. I can't wait for the WWE fans to just talk about how awesome the Lucha Bros are and how WWE's finally making something of them, even though you're getting, you know, Captain Mail It In with Penta at this point in his career. But, you know, Fénix is going to go full bore. But yeah, it sucks because AEW's tag team division is not great right now, if non-existent, basically. But also they've had their run. They're, you know, they've been with AEW from the jump, right? I mean, if not from the jump, damn near it. And so they've reached that Jake Roberts, you know, 7-year run at this point, or close enough to it where, yeah, let's freshen things up a little bit.
Jesse?
Yep. It's did Kyle coin the Jake Roberts term, or did somebody else?
I think he got it from somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. But he would always quote it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a unwritten law. I mean, not many people I know outside of our circle know about that rule, and it's perfect now that there's two larger federations. It's, yeah, I mean, it is time for some people to make moves, treat it territorial, but it's also still national. I mean, I think with the tag division in the WWE, they do have some solid teams. The problem is they still don't really highlight it much. That's, I mean, look who their champions are right now. I I just actually completely lost my train of thought because it was the Finn Balor and JD McDonagh who defeated Awesome Truth. And then you had DIY just lose him recently to the Bloodline. And we don't know what's going on with Jacob Fatu. So, I mean, it's going to be a good influx, but I'd almost rather see them both get singles runs. And please, please do not throw these two in an LWO faction or feuding with the LWO. I'm very, very concerned that that is going to happen.
Yeah.
So Rey Fénix and Dragon Lee are very, very similar, I feel, just when it comes to talents. I look at Fénix as a little bit more superior, but I am concerned that they're going to fall down that rabbit hole where they'll win a couple, they'll be the most exciting things on TV, and then they'll just get pushed to the back burner. Penta, like you said, is Mr. Mail It In. He'll be unhappy, and then 2 or 3 years down the road, they'll go right back to AEW. Maybe they'll decide to push the tag division again. Who knows? Because, yeah, that tag division's in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. Which is quite the turnaround from when the company launched, and that was their big strength. Mm-hmm. You know, finally a focus on tag team wrestling, where WWE had pretty much neglected it forever. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you guys said. I think they've done everything they can in AEW. You know, Rey Fénix has had a singles championship with the international title. You know, they've been the world tag champions. They've been the trios champions. They've been there since the very start. I think maybe, like, if you really tried, you could get Fénix to take off even more as a single. He's always had more upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they've kind of touch and go with that over the years a little bit here and there, like when he had the international title win they went to, you know, because of the injury and everything.
Oopsies.
Yeah. But I mean, they could have got more out of him, certainly. But I mean, yeah, they just, as good as Fénix is and as a tag team they have been, you know, they've had multiple match of the year contenders. They've been in a match of the year at I think All Out 21, one match of the year in the Observer that year. They just are missing something lately. It's just they've been on TV too much. Mm-hmm. They don't feel special anymore. It's definitely time to move on. You're exactly right, Justin. This is what makes having two viable companies much better, because they can have totally fresh matches. People on the other side, when their contracts come up, cough, Kevin Owens should. Kevin Steen should think about jumping ship, because there ain't nothing left for Kevin Owens to do in WWE at all. And a damn thing left for that guy to do. So he should be looking to come across too, the other direction. But here, I mean, definitely, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think AEW, despite the status of the tag division, I mean, you can elevate the Lucha Bros, but we've already seen it. So, like, I don't think that even helps the case. They need to do something totally different. So I don't think they're losing anything by losing the Lucha Bros here.
I thought you were about to say that this would be AEW's chance to elevate some of those other teams that really haven't had a chance for the last, you know, few years, because, you know, the Lucha Bros were so high up as, you know, far as their spot goes in that tag team division. Real quick, before we move on, I'm curious. I saw somebody comment this in our Facebook group, and I couldn't disagree with it more. Do you think they should go to NXT first?
Ooh, no way.
I don't think so either.
No. I heard that they are specifically asking, if they sign, that they will not go to NXT. That they have made it known they do not want to go there. So I don't think that's going to happen. That would be a waste. That would be a total waste.
Agree.
It would be. And the one thing you could do even is, if, let's say, it's till the end of the year, you have two teams sitting down there in NXT that you could promote right up, because everybody kind of salivated at the thought of a Lucha Bros Rascals feud right away, or getting them on TV together. Why not bring them up together?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think we all think it's good for both sides. So, you know, no harm, no foul. I mean, I think it's a good move for them. They should make the money. They should go over there. They've never been there. Make some money, do some fresh matches. And that's how it should be. So, meanwhile, in AEW, they're building up to a little over 2 weeks away from All In. It's kind of coming up fast here. They're starting to hit the home stretch. They had, I thought, a kind of up and down edition of Dynamite this week. It didn't really feel like an important show, had some good stuff on it. But I am super invested in the main event with Brian of course, and Swerve. I think they've done a good job building that up. I did like the sit down interview with Jim Ross and Swerve. I liked Brian's match with Jeff Jarrett, which I'm going to throw to Justin to talk about here in a second. So that's all been very good. I think, you know, the women's programs have been good overall. Certainly Tony and Mariah being the top of the heap there. But I mean, yeah, kind of an uneven edition of Dynamite this week. But Justin, I know you really liked the main event.
Yes, but first we got to start with the absolute highlight of not just Dynamite, but of, you know, the entire history of professional wrestling. And that was Jack Perry thinking about that Taco Bell box. That was incredible.
That's how I was almost going to open the show, too.
That was strange.
That was, yeah, I mean, holy crap. Just a commercial cut in to the middle of this little segment with Jack Perry. That was, that was brutal. Couldn't take anything seriously after that.
Before I forget, I just got to throw this out there right now, because I was going to text it to you, but when I watched it, it was like fairly late, so I didn't text it to you. But when I was watching Dynamite with my two older daughters, and I was like, yeah, you know, Brian's going to wrestle Jeff Jarrett tonight. And Justin, my oldest daughter, looks at me, and in the way that she talks, you probably know when she's annoyed, she was like, Jeff Jarrett, he's going to beat him in like 3 seconds. Why should I care about that match? It's like, I mean, you're probably right. Brian should probably beat Jeff Jarrett in about 3 seconds. But she was like, just because it was Jeff Jarrett, my 8-year-old, she's like, I don't care about Jeff Jarrett. But to the point, they had a really good match, did they not?
Yeah, they had an excellent match. And well, it, again, to her point, it started off perfectly with Jeff Jarrett hitting him from behind so he could kind of build that, you know, advantage right from the jump. So you can, you know, believe everything that comes mm-hmm. after a little bit more. You know, the fact that it was an anything goes match was desperately needed for these two. But I mean, you have two absolute pros in there who just told the perfect story. Everything made sense. Everything clicked. Absolutely loved when Brian was getting tossed around into the crowds while they were in the food section. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when he finally came back from that and how pumped up he was and the crowd got so psyched, just a fantastic moment. I got to say, I think by a pretty significant margin, and that's not saying too much because I've never been a big fan of Double J, my favorite Jeff Jarrett match of all time. And how often do you watch wrestling and think to yourself, I've never seen that. That was really cool. When Brian used the chair to bash Jeff Jarrett's knees in order to get out of the figure four, just top to bottom, it did not overstay its welcome. I never bought Jeff Jarrett was going to beat Danielson, but like that wasn't the point of this match. You know, it's just a small part in kind of the larger story they're trying to tell here with Brian getting ready for that big match at Wembley. Loved it. Great stuff.
I got to tell you, I looked up his cage match statistics right when you said his best match, your favorite match of his of all time, to see where it ranks right now. Just a day later, is currently ranked Jeff Jarrett's 8th best match of his career on cage match already. A 7.63 wow. rating. No observer rating, of course. He has had a couple of 4.5-star matches in the Observer. His match with Kurt Angle at TNA Genesis 2009 and his match with Shawn Michaels at In Your House 2 were both 4.5 stars.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Yeah, that's yeah,
I haven't
good
seen
one.
That one in a long time, but those are both over 8 ratings. But yeah, I mean, we're only 24 hours. This rating is going to shift more, probably even more positive. But already, it's the 8th highest Jeff Jarrett match in his career. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
My question, because I don't hear anything about a follow up. Are we really looking at Hangman and Jeff Jarrett at all in?
Could be.
I don't mind it. Like I said, I do not mind this version of Jeff Jarrett. And one thing that is sorely needed on these AEW cards for their pay-per-views is a match that can go sub 10 minutes and doesn't have to be some five-star banger match, you know, for in order for anybody to talk to it. Just have fucking, you know, Hangman versus the Last Outlaw, have Hangman squash him in about 5 minutes, call it a day. That's exactly what these cards need, is that kind of match.
Mm-hmm. If only you can book that match and not Tony Khan.
Yeah, true, true.
That he would go 12 minutes and Double J would be getting a considerable amount of offense. That's the way I see it.
And honestly, I would think they would just be a part of the casino match at All In. That maybe they're just trying to get some stories going for those reveals.
It's probably, yeah, that is definitely the best use, I think, of Jeff Jarrett possible. I will have to watch this match, though. Something, it's the only thing I haven't caught so far on AEW Dynamite, because they had a good match. Hangman and Jarrett had a good match in the opening round of the O, and mm-hmm. told a good story, and I think it went like a 10 or 11 minutes. So yeah, you cut that down about 3 minutes and I'd be okay. Maybe I'd be fine with it, because you get something that's just going to pass time along. Well, I guess from here, Bryan Danielson, Swerve. Yeah, I mean, temperatures rising as we speak. Swerve is had, like you said, a tremendous sit down interview, I felt, with Jim Ross, and said he's going to take Danielson's legacy and he's going to be the one that's going to be remembered as the guy that retired him.
Mm-hmm.
He looks forward to just elevating himself even that much more, which I think we think it's go the other way.
Yeah. And you know, I got to say, I got something about Hangman I want to say in a second, but I've seen some takes on Twitter where people are like, I can't believe they're not doing, you know, Hangman and Swerve at All In. That's the big money. That's the match. I can't believe they're not doing it. And I could not disagree more with that. Bryan Danielson is the biggest star, active star in this company. It's their biggest show of the year. No, you save Hangman and Swerve. Yeah, we know the story is their strongest story. You save that for a more, you know, secondary show maybe. Whereas here, it's like, this is the big media attention show. You put the guy in there who is the biggest star in the company with the storyline that it's his last shot. I like this a lot more on the stage at Wembley Stadium. You know, I mean, you can definitely make the argument. And yeah, Swerve and Hangman, we've loved their series. They could do that anytime. But I think Bryan Danielson on the way out, end of his career, Wembley Stadium, this is a no-brainer. I couldn't disagree more with that take.
Well, in that, you know, I've fantasy booked this before, but, you know, part of the reason why I want Bryan to get that title among many is so that you can go to Swerve and Hangman at All Out, because Hangman's got to get one of his wins back, you know, mm-hmm. and then that can be Swerve's one loss between now and what I would think would be Wrestle Dream, where he should, you know, reclaim his world championship. We've said it before. We want Swerve to lose the title, but we want him to get it back almost immediately. This just needs to be a blip in his reign. And it's honestly, it's too early for anybody but Danielson to take it off him right now. Like I don't want Swerve and Hangman right now, because Hangman needs to win one of these. Mm-hmm. And Swerve can't lose the title to him right now. So, I do want to see Hangman be world champ down the road, because he, you know, might be the best part of the show every week now since he came back. But yeah.
So speaking of Hangman, real quick before I forget, and I'll throw it to Jesse here. Did you guys think that, to throw back to WWE, when Rollins came out on Monday night to confront Punk and he was wearing the leather with the fringe on it, do you think that was actually a nod to Hangman, or do you think that was a coincidence, Jesse?
Coincidence.
Because I saw people immediately commenting on it. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't actually even think of it when it first happened. Then when people were pointing out, I was like, oh, okay, I could see it. I didn't think it was intentional. Maybe it was. Justin, did you think that was an intentional thing?
I did not, no. Yeah. That would be awesome if he had, like, if one of them had worked, you know, a reference into the promo, but no.
It's like a cowboy-esque jacket, I guess you could say.
there's a certain transphobic performer on the roster who's paying a little more homage to Hangman Page these days than anybody else on the WWE. That's just in terms of the moveset, of course. It's Logan Paul.
Odyssey Jones?
No.
I was going to say, as far as a human being, could not be further from Adam Page, but you're right with his doing the buckshot lariat, that's for sure.
And what does he call it? The something moonsault. There's a name for it, the Hangman, where he's just got the jump and it's just super pretty looking. Logan did that at SummerSlam with LA Knight with that beautiful springboard moonsault.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oriyama moonsault, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I think that was the main point I wanted to make, was that I don't have any issues with them doing this match. I think Brian is the money match in this situation. So, and I wanted to mention the Seth Rollins thing, because that popped in my head as you guys were talking about Hangman. But yeah, I mean, I think direction wise, probably is him and Jarrett. And yeah, I'm for the reasons Justin laid out, I'm fine with that. Have a quicker match. Totally fine with that.
Never thought we'd be talking about 2024 and Jeff Jarrett being a highlight of a show.
Here we are.
Wow.
Yeah. Anything else from Dynamite you guys wanted to discuss?
Nothing really as far as an in-depth discussion, but I do want to shout out my boy Beef Mortis. That six-man tag was a lot of fun. And honestly, my main takeaway, you know, besides from Jeff Jarrett still, you know, putting out humpers in the year of our Lord 2024, is Kyle Fletcher looked like a big star.
Yeah.
The crowd was really behind him. They were getting into him. I think this podcast has been a fan of him for a while now. And I really seems like, you know, he's taking a step here. And I like that they're kind of using this Ospreay MJF feud to help him get over even more.
Yeah, great call.
Put him in that Takeshita role, however. You can actually, I think, have a little bit more substance with him. I have one very small concern with Kyle Fletcher, and that's his
haircut.
The return of his partner, Mark Davis. And them reforming Aussie Open at some point in time. Is that going to relegate Kyle back to tag duty? Which, don't get me wrong, they sorely need it in AEW, but that's just going to stop his solo trajectory for the moment.
Haircut.
It's bad. It's pretty bad. His hair and his gear could use a little work. Something's just not jiving with the whole presentation, but he's freaking awesome in between the ropes.
I mean, you're a huge fan of him in the ring, right?
Yeah, I mean, love him.
If he just got a new haircut and some different ring gear, Justin Joint, when he watches a Kyle Fletcher match, it looks something like this right here.
Oh, jeez.
He's already got a five-star match on his resume.
There we go.
Match with Will Ospreay and AEW Dynamite right after Revolution.
It was the famous picture from South Park with the computer, the South Park image with the computer and stuff all over. For those of you listening on the podcast,
you got that?
Why are they laughing?
Another similar outcome that might make people laugh is JD Vance versus a couch.
Hello.
Oh man. All right. So here's the new segment I've got for us. And I thought we were talking about this off air. I thought it was something we could try out. People could send in questions they want us to talk about to topropenation@gmail.com. But I thought we would do kind of a question of the week, because we used to have a segment on the show years ago that we call Deep Dive of the Week, where we would talk about just a random old match and give you a reason to go watch it. And I thought, do a question of the week at the end, just something free range question. It could be about a historical topic. It could be, you know, something in the news right now. And we just kind of throw it around the horn and talk about it to close the show. Something fun. So if you have a question that you want us to talk about, topropenation@gmail.com. Or if you're in the chat right now and you have one, you could send us a super chat. We'll get in two questions of the week. You could do that too. We'll definitely feature it if it's a super chat. But here's the one I have for you. This was from one of our patrons, Jay Schmitz, and he said this should be our first question of the week. And so he said, if you think back to the Monday Night Wars, what, in your opinion, is an underrated moment from the Monday Night Wars? Like, maybe not something that people talk about all the time when you think about the big moments from the Monday Night Wars. What are some of your favorite moments that maybe don't get as much publicity? Does anything come to your mind? Maybe it would give people a reason to go back on the network or Peacock and pull up some of those old moments. But anything come to mind, you guys?
I mean, this isn't a good answer because it's not really significant to the Monday Night Wars. Like, I don't think it, you know, probably changed the ratings in any way, but the first thing that popped in my head when you asked the question was Dean Malenko taking off, you know, when he dressed up as Cyclops and took the mask off at, I think Slamboree 98. It was one of my all-time favorite moments in that time frame when the war was hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm. Hot and heavy. I like it. Jesse.
I think we covered this, but I think because there's just so much focus on the Hart Foundation and Degeneration X and Stone Cold Steve Austin. You could go with The Undertaker too. And you also think of Mankind, of course. I think in terms of underratedness, we covered it. May 26th of 97 was part of it with Mick Foley's interviews. The humanizing of him.
Yeah.
I think that is very chef's kiss. You could probably go, I think there were three parts to it. So it might be May 19th, May 26th, and then the follow-up would be June 3rd. Yeah. That's the only one that could, because I know I'm like really trying to rack my brain. Like everything else, I'm just like, that's fine to me, but I don't know if people would find it underrated.
I like it when Sean Morley's dick got cut off. That was awesome.
Highly underrated.
This guy has continued to embarrass himself. What a dumb. Have you guys seen all this stuff going on Twitter with him?
Recent. I mean, Jesus, that's a name I blocked a long time ago.
I have got to give credit to Matt Kuhn on this because buying valvenus.com like so many years ago and for forwarding that to the site he forwarded it to just to piss off. Val Venus is on there like, turn it over. It's like, dude, he's not going to turn it over to you. You should have bought. I just looked it up. Matt Kuhn bought it February 22nd of this year. You didn't have the foresight to like buy it earlier than that. And he's like, I'm going to take legal action against you. What are you talking about? I own the website, dude. It's been just totally hilarious to watch all of that. And then he also bought LoganAlexanderPaul.com. Because that is Logan Paul's full name. And he's forwarded that site to valvenus.com.
Nice.
Which forwards to like isn't it like a trans like acceptance website or something like
that? Yeah.
Just hilarious stuff. But anyways, yeah, let's cut off Sean Morley's dick again. That would be a good way to bring that to my Great callback. Yeah, as far as underrated it's hard because like this stuff has been analyzed so much in every single big moment. It's hard to pick out something that's underrated. The first thing I said to him was like, I mean, people do talk about this, but I do think the guy is underrated, and that's the Lex Luger title win in August of 97. I love that night. When I think of like the best nights, because I think it was the same night. I think it was the night after SummerSlam 97, and I was so jacked to see Brett come out with the title. But I was like, man, but I got to watch that Nitro main event too, because I was so jazzed to see Luger wrestle Hogan and then him winning the title. It was such a huge moment. I feel like people who didn't watch wrestling at the time might look back and see that result and be like, oh, Lex Luger, he's okay. But that was gigantic when it happened. That was one of the all-time great Nitro moments. So I can't call it underrated because if you live through it, it certainly wasn't underrated. But I think people now that didn't watch then might be shocked at how great it was.
It's hurt because in the moment, if you watched it, it felt like this giant blow to the NWO. But then, you know, shortly thereafter, Hogan, you know, got the title back and it's as if it never happened. So that kind of dampens it with that, you know, the view from afar. But in the moment, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
Losing his title on Nitro twice to get huge ratings and for it to be widely lauded, I think was give him a little bit of credit there, I suppose, but only for him to take it back the one time. I think another one, even though this one, it's, I think when it comes to WCW, it's probably high end, but you don't think of it in the top five, top 10 moments, probably being Diamond Dallas Page turning on the, or about to join with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in January of 97. Then he hits the diamond cutter on Scott Hall and just ventures into the crowd and the people just swarm him. That was the start of something big for him.
Yeah.
Because think if he had joined the NWO, he'd just be another number.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other one I think of, and I've talked about this one on the show a lot. In fact, I think I might have drafted it on our best TV matches draft. But when I had rewatched it a couple of years ago, I mean, I knew it was a good match, but I really liked the match a lot. And that was the finals of the European title tournament in February of 97 and the Owen Bulldog match that was in Berlin that they aired on Raw. That match is phenomenal. That's underrated as hell. I think it's like end of February 97, if you want to look it up. But like, it's almost like a time warp match for Bulldog. He's so agile in that match, the way he's flipping around and doing cartwheels and stuff. And you're like, oh, this is 97 Bulldog. And Owen's great, of course. That is a gem of a match. So I think that's kind of an underrated one from the Monday Night War period, at least. I mean, obviously WWF was losing the war at the time, but that's a standout TV match if there ever was one during that time period. So
it's a must watch. Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't seen it in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, it's great. It's good stuff. So it's something we're going to try. Just a question of the week. So again, if you have a suggestion, you can email them to us, topropenation@gmail.com. Or if you're joining us weekly, you can always throw out the super chat that you have a question for question of the week, and we will get to it. Maybe we can get to a couple if there's a number of super chats, but otherwise that's a perfect way you can get one featured. But otherwise we're gonna continue to do this regardless every week and just throw out a new kind of historical probably angle to it, question a week at the end. So
I think
that's all I got. Yeah.
I might have one for next week. To give you guys a hint, maybe just to mull it over for the next week, maybe just be thinking about what, you know, your favorite Corey Feldman movie could be.
Bring this full circle.
Jeez.
Yeah, nice. Good stuff. I'll be deep diving on the Corey Feldman IMDb page over the next 7
what a
nights.
Filmography.
Yeah. Guys will be ready for that next week. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Always look forward to Thursday nights. Appreciate you guys supporting us and what we do, whether it is on Patreon or here on YouTube or on the podcast feeds, or of course in our Facebook group. So if you guys are not already in the Facebook group, search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. And you can join our Facebook group. Anything else, guys, for the good of the cause before we wrap this up?
Nope. I'm good, buddy.
I have got nothing.
All right. Well, it has been a fun time, you guys. Over the next week, you can join us by watching Stand By Me, The Goonies, The Lost Boys, The Burbs, whatever.
Oh, he's awesome in The Burbs. The Burbs rules. What a great movie.
I think Stand By Me is my winner. I had thought about Goonies, and I was like, no, Stand By Me.
I would probably say Stand By Me, personally. I love that movie. But I'll have to think about it. I'll let you know for sure next week. And then we'll start our side podcast, the Corey Feldman saga, on patreon.com. What a time to be alive.
Hey, if it gets Bret Hart on the show.
There we go. You mean Adonis Truth?
Adonis Truth. Nice. All right, you guys. Well, for Jesse Velasquez and Justin Joint, I'm Ryan Drosty. We'll see you guys next Thursday night. Have a great weekend.
black house will rock. Blind boys die.